Stan and Haney afternoon show, rolling right along, and we told you we'd get him.
Yeah.
We told you.
We got a one hell of a guest on. Big shootout at a Jacksonville restaurant. Two elderly diners turned the tables on a shotgun-wielding robber.
Are you going to pull those pistols and whistle Dixie?
And I guess we have on the phone 69-year-old Oscar Moore.
Hi, Oscar.
Hello.
How are you? Thanks for coming on the show.
That's all right. Glad to do it.
I guess maybe we should call you Hero.
Well, I've been called that before in the last few days.
What a story. take us through it. Tell us what was going on and what happened to you.
Well, I was my wife and I were having dinner, and I had come in set with my back to the door, and we were about half or two-thirds of the way through our meal, and all of a sudden, somebody burst in saying, everybody down on the floor, everybody down on the floor. And I said, this doesn't sound very good. And my wife starts, my middle name is Ryland, and that's what everybody calls me, by the way.
Okay, can I call you Ryland?
R-Y-L-A-N-D, yes.
Thank you.
And she says, Ryland, and I'm digging in my back pocket to get my gun out. And he was behind a wall where the waitresses have all their silverware and stuff, and he comes out dragging a little waitress with him to the cash register, and he had a hood over his face, kind of a camouflaged hood, and looked like a homemade something or another. A shotgun. He'd been waving the shotgun around. Everybody by then had hit the floor. I mean, everybody except my wife and I. My wife was sitting there and facing him, and he was so interested in getting in the cash register, I don't think he even saw me. I just stood up.
Well, Ryland, what's going through your head right now?
Nothing really. The only thing I was concerned about was I knew I was undergunned, and I didn't really have the gun to really, you know, stop him good unless I could hit him in the head.
What'd you have, a 22?
22 Magnum. And a five-shot weapon, but it's a single action. And I was 35 feet away from him. And that was at the outer limits of what I could expect to do anything with. I'm a accomplished pistol shooter. And rifle shooter, too, for that matter. And I knew the limitations of the weapon, so I had to quickly go through my computer and say, well, you got one choice. That's picked somewhere between the groin and the neck and in the center side to side, and do it now. You've waited too long. Bang.
Wow.
And about that time, the guy from Birmingham, Alabama, turned one loose. The perpetrator was running out the door. He dropped his shotgun, and the handle, he had a pistol grip on it. It must have broke off, and he threw it out in the middle of the parking lot and ran around the corner of the building pulling his hood off, and had an accomplice there, the getaway driver. And police were a little while getting there. I was in and out of the building a couple of times. Finally, I told the people, I said, hey, it's all over with. Get up off the floor.
I mean, this guy quickly forgot about robbing the place.
Yeah, he suddenly remembered he had urgent business at St. Vincent's Hospital.
So you did hit him then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hit him in the gut. They called him gut shot. And
that's
within
painful.
20 minutes after the police got there, they said that one of them came over and said, well, we got him at St. Vincent's Hospital. He's gut shot. And then
that kind of shot, a shot to the gut. I remember this from the Tarantino movie, Reservoir Dogs. A shot to the gut, that's painful.
Yes. They're very bad, very painful, and potentially very dangerous. And as luck would have it, I was at the gun show shop last night and yesterday afternoon, and in walks a guy, and he said, y'all talking about the shooting last night? I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was the day before yesterday. And the guy says, well, I'm the doctor that took care of him at St. Vincent's. I said, no, you're kidding. I said, I'm the one that sent you the patient. And we shook hands, of course, and he described to me the wound. And it was good enough to get him in. He was still in the hospital yesterday. I don't know if he still is today or not. But
he probably wants to stay there as long as he can.
Well, they moved him from the St. Vincent's over to the what we kind of call the county hospital, the university hospital. And I think they didn't take him there because they have police that stay on duty there all the time. But, it didn't take him any length of time. They reported a gunshot wound, and Mm-hmm. Boy, the police were there in a hurry. And
well, Ryland, at that moment that you pulled the trigger, I mean, you tell us how that you are a marksman and that you carry the weapon. Any hesitation in shooting a human being? You know, you're in a situation where you got to act fast. You know, cops, you read about police officers that have never had to pull their weapon, and they don't even know about that moment in time when they have to use it on somebody.
Well, let me explain how I got to that. I've traveled a lot in my lifetime. I was a traveling salesman for 34 years, and then I've done a lot of traveling. I do a lot of traveling around town now, and I'm always thinking, I hear about this robbery, this killing, this, that, and this, the other. And I say, well, what exactly, Ryland, are you going to do if this happens to you? And I'm cruising down the road, you know, going somewhere, and I said, well, first thing I'm going to do is this. Now, I put this scenario out, and I got it all planned. It's all automatic. There was nothing that took any decision-making at all, only that I had to go for the large amount of mass. I had to shoot for the big part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing I had to, and it took microseconds.
Now, you mentioned that another customer there fired shots also. I guess he was an 81-year-old gentleman.
Yes.
Now, there's a guy. Quick reflexes on this guy, too, huh?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. He just turned it loose, and as the guy was running out, the problem was he didn't have any sights on his gun. And I mean, it was in a wallet-type thing, and he couldn't see the sight. My sights, of course, are little thick sights, are not really that good, but basically all I did was point the gun very carefully with both hands and squeeze it off.
Did you ever have any concern, especially when you saw that there was another guy firing, that you know you're a marksman, but did it concern you when you saw somebody else there starting to get
in? No, because it all happened so quick. See, I shot, and almost instantly he shot, but by that time the perpetrator was to the door,
mm-hmm.
and there was no need to shoot again. I mean, there wasn't anything, you know, no need to try to shoot him again. There was a wall there,
right.
And he couldn't see the perpetrator at that point. And I knew that I couldn't get two shots off. It would do any good. I wouldn't take a chance because the girl was behind the counter, the waitress that he had dragged over there, and I wouldn't have taken a chance, you know, to shoot again. Well, I knew I made my mind up in the beginning. I only got one shot. That was all, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't bother me that this guy had shot because I was well behind him. He was closer up to the cash register than I was.
That's a scary situation. It's good that it worked out the way that it did. But you got the perpetrator with a shotgun, you with a pistol, another guy with a pistol, and you got 30 people in this restaurant.
It could have been a mess.
It could have been, sure. That's why I said I had the choice that I had was I've got to separate him from that shotgun mm-hmm. any way that I can do it. And, you know, the only way for me to, I figured the only way to do it would be hit him in the mass and hope it did enough damage to, and he did, he dropped the shotgun going out. So,
you carry a firearm with you all the time, don't you?
Yes.
You know, not everybody carries a firearm with them all the time.
Well, that's true. It's true, but I do.
And I guess that you've been cleared of any possible trouble with the law because you did have the permit. And
Yes, that doesn't mean that they can't change their mind, I suppose. But I don't think in a case like this, this is sort of open and shut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got 50 witnesses.
Yeah. How long did they keep you for questioning, though?
Oh, they didn't keep me any time at all. They did take my gun. Of course, they got to run ballistics on
it. Sure.
And they took the gun. I gave him the 4 rounds of ammunition I had left in there. And he gave me the gun back, said, unload it. And I unloaded it and gave it back to him. He made sure he got all the information off my license to carry and had my name spelled right and all of that. And then that was it.
But I guess
they were interviewing a lot of other people, too.
I guess you had a lot of happy people in the restaurant. It says here in the story they almost broke your arm shaking your hand.
That's right. That's the one thing that really I could not get over. They came up and shake my hands and said, thank you. And, I what the hell? What did I do? You know, I did what you're supposed to do, out loud.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ryland, we don't have anything to give you, but you've won the Stan and Haney Good Guy Award.
Okay.
All right.
I thought they won the radio station in Rhode Island go send me a T-shirt.
All right, we can do that for you, Ryland.
Have you got one?
We can.
I don't know if that's
up
in the budget.
Yeah, maybe a bumper sticker.
Okay.
Yeah. Ryland, congratulations to you. You are truly a hero.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good, it makes the Pope want to sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Once in a while, we get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, well, unairable.
Yeah.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Tuesday. All right. You want to find out who's calling on that line, D-Train, please? We're in the middle of a broadcast, trying to do a show, and some solicitor is trying to call the hotline. You know, that's in the directory. I don't know what they have it listed under, but we get people calling wanting a funeral arrangements, all kinds of products, and they call that line. And that's, you know, for emergencies only.
It doesn't take much to get on a list.
No. A couple of things.
Somebody got me on a list.
Yeah.
And they are absolutely relentless. I forget it. They're calling me a woman's name.
Hi, Barbara.
Something like that. Like a Barbara.
Did you give yourself a haircut, too?
Yes, I did.
Can I see?
Yeah, and I need a nurse.
Wait a second. There we go. Hold on. There's some very important things I got to do.
Aren't you going to let me finish riveting story?
No, but you talked about a nurse or something.
No, I do need a nurse.
What's
but that's
the matter with
the
nurse? Oh. I told you where to... and your story?
No, it's been going on for like 3 months now. This retirement community somewhere north of Orlando.
Yeah.
Every day, there are calls. And then there are texts. The calls didn't work, so now they've started texting me every day.
Have you made your arrangements?
and the funny thing is, they always start out with the same thing. Hi, it's Glenn calling from sunny Florida.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm farther south than you, you jackass. I do need a nurse.
I know you do. It's a walk. We'll talk about that next break.
Couldn't a nurse just come in here?
Sure they could, but they need the equipment. Never mind.
Besides, I don't have a doctor now because for some reason they're not available when I'm done with work.
Huh? Oh, you want a doctor at... You don't come on until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Why not make, like I do, an 8 o'clock appointment or a 9 o'clock appointment?
Well, that's insane.
That is not insane. That's normal.
No, you'd lose me for the show. What's more important to you?
How would I lose you for the show? You'd just go for a checkup or something.
If I got up at 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you go to bed at a decent hour, you could get up at 8 a.m. Now, see, look at even right over there. D-Train acknowledges it.
Yeah, D-Train will acknowledge it until I talk to him and remind him about my horrible, horrible life and all of the hours that I'll never get back and that I'm done now.
I'm going to set it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set a regimen for you.
I have been on regimens. I've worked 3 jobs. I've gotten up at all hours, and I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, you got to go to the doctor at 8 o'clock. Look, I want you to bed at 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I want that alarm of yours to go off on a normal day no later than 8 o'clock.
No,
A day that you have a doctor's appointment, get up a little earlier. 7 o'clock never hurt nobody.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
You know what time I got up today? 6:15.
That's because you aged prematurely.
What time did you get up today?
I actually had just completed running a mile by
6:15.
Were up late last night.
I'm up late every night.
Yeah.
Did you get my clip?
No, I haven't checked.
Yeah.
I take the time to send you something you can't even look at.
Well, you send it at all ungodly hours of the night.
Well, he was up.
He had to probably was doing something.
Yeah, watching Netflix.
And he was up at 6 o'clock
running. No. Someone at my house is watching Netflix under my account, so no, I was in bed.
Yeah. What, are you spying on him with the Netflix?
That's just the way life is now. Whether I want to know it or not, it tells me.
That's really? My old Xbox 360 that's online.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's acting as a media player for one of my other bedrooms.
We have to apologize.
I'm not apologizing.
Not you. Well, you don't have control over
this. No, I'm through apologizing and getting up at 7 in the morning.
We, as a show, have...
I got nothing to apologize for.
Don't you even. D-Train. Here's this. I blame Beasley. And I do, and here's the reason why, and you can't dispute it. I can't have somebody coming in here and saying, we don't appreciate that, Stan. I blame Beasley. We have the most listened to podcast in the company. Now, D-Train has
But they don't understand why.
Of course not. They'll find out why now when the complaints start coming in. D-Train puts the podcast up within 24 hours of the, of the show. As you know, for the past 6 months, he has
Believe it or not, is a lot of work, and,
yes,
and he makes sure.
Well, you know, over the last 6 months or so, whenever the air handler kicks on, he gets off, he gets his computer knocked off, which is absolutely ridiculous.
When the air conditioning turns off, it shuts your computer
down.
When
the room gets to a nice 67 degrees, the air handler turns off. My computer doesn't turn off. What happens is I have an external USB sound card ever since they gave me this new used computer 6 months ago. And so when the air handler shuts off, despite the fact that I'm plugged into a UPS, the computer loses just enough power, not to shut the computer off, but the USB bus just loses power for a half microsecond, which causes Audition to stop recording the audio.
So if we were to put you in an on-air-conditioned room, there'd be no problem.
Well, there'd be a problem for you because all this whole hallway is conditioned by the same equipment.
I'll get into it. That's another thing.
And so what happens is Audition stops recording. I have to hit the space bar to stop it and then simply hit it to start recording again. So we lose anywhere between 10 to 30 seconds if I'm staring out Audition.
Now,
if
hold
I'm
on.
Doing other things, I don't see that it had stopped. And sometimes we miss a minute or two.
We have a backup. Now, he has to use that. So when the air handler kicks on or off or whatever the hell it does that screws up his computer, we have a backup.
I'm saving incomplete copies of the show to my computer locally that I record live daily.
All right.
The backup yesterday, somebody unplugged it.
No, probably wasting energy.
Somebody unplugged it. He went to the chief engineer who unplugged it. I don't know who unplugged it.
Not my problem.
Not my problem, yeah. So, a podcast.
He says to me, what do you need? Something from yesterday? I said, yeah, the entire show. To which he replies, I thought you record it live every day. To which I replied, yes. And as
but
you recall,
the air handler,
every time the air handler,
precisely.
Yada, 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 yada.
So, he was not able to put up a complete podcast from yesterday's show.
There's a podcast up.
But it's so incomplete.
Continuity is in the wind.
And there's nothing that he can do about it.
So unless a relative of Abraham Zapruder happens to have a copy, we'll never know.
Nope. And we have begged, pleaded.
Complained.
Get this done.
Hey, look, we just now got copper lines after 10 years for the phones. One thing at a time.
You're
going to
go and go, how come you guys aren't putting up the podcast? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not? Because we can't. But when they are done blaming us for that, and we say, well, you need an electrician in here to help the power supply, and you had somebody do that, then they'll say.
Of course, the story
that
is not really the truth, is what he's saying.
What are you talking about?
Okay, hold it.
Expose the lie, Richard.
Yeah, what's the lie?
The lie was, I didn't say somebody unplugged it. I said that
firewire
bus
got
disconnected.
Unplugged.
It does it everywhere. It does it by itself.
Which is the audio source
can you tell
for the
me
device.
Which is the audio source for the device?
The audio source is not in this room at all.
The firewire is how the audio gets transmitted into the server.
There. It disconnected all the stations connected to it.
So he
and we don't know why.
It just randomly happened.
Russians? Could it be Russians?
Can you tell me?
I think it was the Chinese.
Can you tell me why he can't, every time the air conditioner turns on, he has to rely on it?
His problem.
Yep.
I'll get something for it, but he's the only guy in the building that has that problem.
You're the only guy in the building that has that problem.
But it doesn't mean the problem doesn't exist.
Disconnecting yesterday, you're on your copper pristine lines.
Yeah, that was
that's your caller
error. That was a caller error.
That was your caller errors.
Because the rest of the time, they work pretty damn good.
Yeah, those are your caller errors all along.
Unless you, no, they were not.
You know how nice Richard is?
Oh, when you stop at the being nice. He's
being
a jerk.
You want me to stop being nice?
He's being a jerk.
No, he's not.
I love to watch you go through the ceiling.
I got to take a break.
You know what I said to him yesterday?
What?
I need some stuff hooked up at my house.
What the? I am losing my mind right now.
And I said, Richard, could you help me with that?
What?
I said, how much would you charge me to do that? And you know what he said?
What?
He just wants a lot of beer.
I didn't say a lot of beer.
Son of a... We'll
be okay. Well, I got one ear's closed off because I can't find a nurse.
96 Kara.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry. Just try not to focus on the pain. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. It's Stan and Haney. Mike Chiannopoulos on the show in about 1 hour. Let's not waste any more time. We got the grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug, US 41 in Naples. New location coming soon. Oh, our gal, she's thinking about charity work.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
My neighbor just rescued another dog. She's amazing. She works full-time, fosters animals from the pound, and works another job on the weekend to pay for it all. Thank goodness there are people like that in the world. If everyone was like me, there'd be stray cats and dogs roaming the planet, and everyone would have just one job they weren't even passionate about, just waiting for the weekend. I need to find some charity work to feel more fulfilled. Maybe something with kids. No, I don't have the patience. Why do they have to touch everything? Senior citizens? Ugh, no. I don't want to see what I'm turning into. You know, they say charity begins at home. Maybe I should just clean out my fridge. I could give that old turkey to my neighbor. It's basically turned into jerky. Turkey jerky. She could feed it to the dogs. I feel better already.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
You know, when you go to Europe, every little town and hamlet, and oh, they've got their old church that's been there since, like, 1520.
You mean ones that haven't been converted into mosques?
Correct. Such is the case in Switzerland. There is an old church in Switzerland.
What a beautiful one. Beautiful.
The bell tower is being renovated. And if you have a church with a bell tower in a community, you know it chimes the hours. Well, they had to take the church bells down. So the community in Switzerland decided to replace it with ringtones until they can get the bells fixed. Here's the church bell in the town chiming. What time is it?
We thought it was a cell phone ringing, but I told them it was God calling.
God calling.
What was that?
Nice Jewish lady.
Well, you know, the bar is low.
Yeah.
No matter what they do, it is far less annoying than if it was a mosque.
Yeah. All right. This is unbelievable. The video is incredible. Not for any action, but that somebody would actually do this. A woman. Well, they're capable of anything.
Oh,
a woman on a flight from London to Poland was caught peeing on the floor of the front galley of the jet.
You stop that! You gotta roll up a newspaper.
And she was on the phone talking to a friend while she was in the galley of the jet just squatting.
Letting it all hang out.
And the thing is, you look at it, and they got it pixelated where the privates are. But you're like, what's going on here? And then you see the galley floor and the pee running in towards the cockpit. And she was basically told the plane was being refueled. You cannot use the restrooms right now. She apparently really had to go and make a phone call. So a passenger cannot believe their eyes when they see the woman squatting in the front section of the plane. You know, that area where the flight attendants are and the door to the cockpit is. Squatting, going to the bathroom.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I did ask.
That is disgusting.
I know.
You are a grown woman.
I know.
Get up off the floor.
I know.
That is disgusting.
I know.
So why are you doing it?
I know. I did ask.
Why are you doing it?
Can I go, please, to the toilet?
So you think it's all right just to sit down and on the floor like that?
I couldn't say it. I did ask, can I please go to the toilet? They said no. They did say no.
So you think it's okay to on the floor?
I know. That's not okay.
Unbelievable. Just add this to the reasons why I don't leave the house.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around that.
I love this. As a matter of fact.
Once they seal that door to the plane,
yeah,
you're at the mercy of other people.
Last weekend, I think it was on Sunday, one of the channels were showing the original series of Godzilla movies.
Of what?
Godzilla!
There you go.
Not the ones that Hollywood made, but the ones
from... The Japanese.
Japan. Here is... I'm not joking. This is so awesome. Here is the sound effects used for the 1967 Godzilla film...
Godzilla!
Son of Godzilla. These were the sound effects used to show baby Godzilla learning.
Aww.
Because Mama Godzilla was teaching baby how to scream.
Aww.
So those Japanese sound technicians were using lions, monkeys, donkeys, elephants, and a bunch of other things as sound effects used in the Godzilla film to teach baby Godzilla how to talk.
I love it.
Yeah.
A little comic relief there Godzilla.
This, it doesn't get any worse than this on live television.
Fox and Friends yesterday had a little mix-up.
What they had was a lazy producer.
Yep. Oh, without a doubt. See, the way they write it here, a little mix-up. It's all behind the scenes.
Yeah, because they were using information 10 years out of date.
Fox and
Friends.
And
they were set up.
Yep. It's pure setup. Fox and Friends had a mix-up yesterday and let the wrong guest on the air. They thought they had
now,
booked...
Now, the wrong guest knew exactly what was going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. They thought they had booked an Arizona congressional candidate named Ann Kirkpatrick, who supports ICE.
She's backed off that now. But at the time, she did. That was, after all, 48 hours ago, Stan. People change.
Yeah, and she's a Democrat. And like other Democrats at the time,
she got booed because she simply raised her hand when they asked all candidates, if you don't believe I should be abolished, raise your hand.
And what they actually got was a woman who is running for Congress in Massachusetts and hates ICE.
And joining us now, that candidate, the only Democrat on stage to support ICE, Ann Kirkpatrick. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Tell us why you do support ICE.
Good morning. I'm actually here to speak directly to Donald Trump. I feel that what's happening at the border is wrong. I'm a mother of four, and I believe that separating kids from their parents is illegal and inhumane. I'm actually Barbara Letalian. I'm a state senator representing a large immigrant community and running for Congress
they
in Massachusetts.
That she said that.
Again, my name is Barbara Letalian, and I refuse to believe that our only options are open borders or traumatized.
Okay. All right.
Let's move along
that didn't go
for
as planned.
A second. So that's what happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. Time for a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what happened is their producer, you know, producers, they got their Rolodex.
Yeah.
And Kirkpatrick was a congresswoman from Arizona in a different district years ago. Specifically about 10 years ago, her campaign manager was this guy who they contacted saying, hey, can you get me your candidate? Well, he hasn't represented her for years.
Right.
He is representing Libby Liberal.
Yeah.
And so he set him up.
Yep. Gotta spot those things. This is great. This is nothing short of great if you're a sports fan and somebody who appreciates a true sports comeback.
Oh, so you did see my video.
Daniel Ponce de Leon. May not know him. He was thrown for the Cardinals. Pitched 7 no-hit innings. Did it for the Cardinals. It was his major league debut. 7 no-hit innings. And it's a miracle because he was nearly killed by a line drive to the head last year while playing minor league ball.
It's dangerous.
His skull was fractured. And he had to have life-saving surgery.
If you've never seen someone hit with a baseball with some force behind it, you have no idea how dangerous it is.
Now, after months of rehab, the Cardinals called him up. 7 innings of no-hit ball.
If Daniel says he's going to do something, he puts his mind and he does it. He saw it today. He's earned his spot, and he's earned his chance here, and it had nothing to do with his brain injury. He
Maybe
earned what
did.
He's done today. He's ice. I'll be the nervous one in the family. He's ice. You can see it on the field.
I don't know if words can describe that. I mean, talk about magical. I mean, what he dealt with, what he's come back from, making his major league debut, throwing 7 innings, not giving up a hit. I mean, that's what's magical about this game and special about this game. And one of the reasons we love this game is to see stories like that.
It's God's plan.
Who was the guy talking for the longest period of time?
Well, the first one was his father. And then it was the Cardinals manager.
That Cardinals manager sounds an awful lot like someone who could potentially be radio middle management, the way that he spoke.
Yeah, well, diplomatically.
Stan, you know, we appreciate that you've been here for quite some time, but you must realize that, you know, as a business, we have decisions that need to be made. And at that point, Stan has already zoned out until the guy gets around to letting you know that you're going to be taking a pay cut.
Speaking of that, I got something to tell you at the top of the hour about a friend of ours and somebody I grew up with. You're going to be amazed that this goes on in business. Well, you shouldn't be. It shouldn't surprise you, but I'll save it. The Black Crows. The Robinson brothers hate each other. And the feud still is going on. A couple of weeks ago, Rich...
It's a shame they're both so talented.
Yep, a couple of weeks ago, Rich Robinson from the Black Crows made news when he said he didn't have a brother anymore.
I wouldn't really ever wish to play in the Crows again. It's just, it's too toxic. I don't have a brother anymore. I don't speak to him. We don't speak. I haven't spoke to him in 4 years. And I would never want to go down that road again. Ultimately, he wanted everyone's money. He felt that he was more important and bigger and better than everyone else. And that's delusional and not the case. And I just felt like it wasn't very righteous to live that way.
Well, a week later, his brother, Chris Robinson, went on the same radio show and replied.
You know, at the end of the day, I have a band and a career outside of
that, and it makes all those guys mad. I mean, they lie about, that's not the case. You know, when my brother has to do what he has to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, it must be sad for my brother, you know, because he's doing an interview about his band or whatever, and all people really want to talk about is me and the Black Crowes. And so it must be frustrating for him, and I think that's what you hear. And trust me, the only thing that I think my brother has a grip on is money. I mean, I don't think he really knows what he's talking about in terms of why he thinks I'm not in the band, but he's got to do what he's got to do, and, you know, it must be difficult for him. I feel bad for him, you know. He's got to do what he's got to do, and I do what I want to do, and, I mean, it's only interesting because of the misery, you know. People like to, oh, my family sucks too, or mine doesn't, or whatever. That's the only reason that it's kind of interesting, you know.
Well, you know, Stan, he's... the end of the day, he's got to do what he's got to do.
At the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yep.
Grab bag. Brought to you by the pewter mug. Earphone calls coming up next. And you said it here, Haney, and I'm going to do a story that for most people, so what? Unless you've been doing a job better than anybody else for nearly 40 years, and your boss says, I don't care.
Oh.
We'll be back.
Oh,
Stan
God.
And Haney. This story made me mad. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is a person that we've had on the show before. And it's a person that I... spent a lot of years listening to. We'll tell you when we come back. Stan and Haney.
I don't care. That's horrible.
It's horrible.
Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Telephone number into the studio if you'd like to talk to us. Area code 239 if you're outside of our immediate area. 277-9600. We take a portion of each show, open the phones up for you to contribute. If you do, we could award you a prize. I'll go over those in just a little bit. 30 minutes away from Mike Chiannopoulos, attorney at law in studio to help you. Before we take phone calls and go over the prizes, this is a story that should be told to everyone who has been at their job for a long time. It is a hockey story, but it isn't about hockey. It's about doing your job for a long time and the business basically telling you, well, F off.
Yeah, you're used up. We used you up.
And I've got the story here. I'm going to go and jump around on it a little bit. When I was a kid in high school, my team, the Whalers, went to the National Hockey League. Gordie Howe was still playing with his sons. And Bobby Hull was on the team. And the voice of the Hartford Whalers in 1979 was Chuck Caton. Chuck was their first NHL announcer. He moved with the team to Carolina when they became the Carolina Hurricanes. 39 seasons as the voice of Hurricane hockey, that franchise anyway. And the ownership, which was just sold, Carmanos, who owns a chunk of the Blades, he doesn't own the team anymore. He sold it. Follow me on this, because Chuck Caton, broadcaster, Hall of Famer, didn't want to quit. He was pretty much told, you're quitting. After 39 years, Chuck Caton was officially out as the Carolina Hurricanes radio play-by-play announcer after the Hall of Fame broadcaster was unable to reach a new contract with the team. The Hurricanes now plan to use a simulcast of the Fox Sports Carolina's television broadcast for its radio broadcasts. Just simulcast it now.
Not the same.
Caton's agent submitted a counterproposal to the Hurricanes after Caton's contract expired on June 30th. But the team stood firm on its final offer to the broadcaster, which included a dramatic pay cut, as the Hurricanes' new owner, Tom Dundon, attempted to reckon with their money-losing radio broadcast. Given Caton the opportunity to recoup some of his losses in salary, he said, "Hey, Chuck, you can sell radio sponsorships," which is the kind of arrangement most typically used in minor league sports. Chuck was saying, "I was hoping for a reasonable offer to stay, but obviously the offer was an invitation to leave. That's how I look at it. I really was hoping we could make some headway. It's the owner's decision to offer me what he offered, and it's a quite substantial decrease. It really basically told me they weren't that interested in keeping me. That's life. That's his team." The 66-year-old Caton won the Hockey Hall of Fame's Foster Hewitt Award in 2004, honoring his excellence in broadcasting, started out with the Hartford Whalers in their first season, and moved with the team to North Carolina in 1997. He has been president of the National Hockey League Broadcasters Association since 1986. As was stated, there are few franchise icons more enduring than Chuck Caton. His booming voice and solo operation in the booth transcended generations.
So not only did they get rid of him, but he was doing it all himself.
Now, they broadcast. Here's how bad the Carolina hockey market is. This is what Peter Karmanos did to my team and did to the National Hockey League. The team pays WCMC FM to carry the broadcast. It's a six-figure deal. Most of it goes or went to Chuck Caton. Carolina hockey on the radio averages about 2,000 people. That's all that listen to the hockey games. That's insane. And they draw maybe 5,000 for a game. And 39 years as a broadcaster, Hall of Famer, they tell him, "Take it or leave it. We're cutting your salary. You can sell sponsorships if you want, but we don't want you." Rumor has it he's going to go to Seattle with that new expansion.
And you know, Chuck, if you don't like the offer, job retraining might be an option for you.
66.
You got your whole life ahead of you.
Unbelievable. This guy was calling hockey when I was a kid.
And in the grand scheme of things, it was not harming them.
No. And if they can't afford to have a radio broadcast,
they can't afford to have a franchise.
They can't afford to have a team. There's nothing better than on a night with a kid and his radio listening to a hockey game. Sorry about that, folks. I couldn't believe it when I read it.
40 years.
Yeah.
40 years of that man's life.
It would have been his 40th season. Gone. Done. Over.
And, you know, in sports, especially in hockey, tradition is supposed to count for a lot.
Yep. Not in that city. That team's going to hell in a handbasket. And 10, 15 years ago, it was a pretty damn good hockey team.
Well, unfortunately for us, it was.
Yeah, I know. It nearly killed us. Never mind.
But that was great.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you have to always have fond memories of getting to hang out with Ronnie Francis and the
it
gang.
It was awesome. 277-9600. We have Fort Myers Gun Show tickets. Going to be August 4th, Lee Civic Center. If you'd like a complimentary auto health checkup from Naples Nissan, that's an oil change, brake check, top off the fluids, tire rotation, multi-point inspection. You don't even need a Nissan. You just go in there and get the work done. Complimentary. We got it for you. You want to go see the Miracle, play a little baseball, bring the kids. We got a pair of tickets to a Miracle game of your choice. Haney bobbleheads, I'll sign them. If you want to have a little something to eat, $50 to the pewter mug down in Naples. Your job, contribute to the show. 277-9600. One other thing I need to state, and then hopefully we'll be able to take your phone calls. Update on Officer Adam Jobbers Miller, the officer that was shot in Fort Myers on MLK Saturday night. The Fort Myers Police Department has started a GoFundMe account for the injured officer. By the way, when we made the announcement yesterday, and a lot of other areas made the announcement, a lot of other broadcast outlets, that they needed blood and negative blood, the turnout to help Officer Jobbers Miller was so huge, they began to have to turn people away. That there were so many people that wanted to go and donate blood.
Most people are good.
Yep. Well, the Fort Myers Police Department has started a GoFundMe account for Officer Jobbers Miller. As of this morning, the fund had over $21,000 with more than 300 donations. The funds are described as being set up for the sole purpose of helping Officer Jobbers Miller's family with any expenses they may incur. Dispersal of all funds to his family will be overseen by the Fort Myers Police Department Memorial Fund. So if you can go and donate, let me tell you something. A Fort Myers cop don't make a whole heck of a lot of money.
And he's putting it on the line for you.
Every day. Officer Jobbers Miller was shot while responding to an accident at the Marathon gas station on MLK Boulevard around 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Well, we have our suspect, too.
Just one?
Right now. Suspect Wisner Desmerit, 29, is in police custody at Lee Memorial Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. They say mental health issues, a record as long as your arm. 277-9600. Ahoy.
Ahoy, guys. How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
This is Dave from Cape Coral.
Hey, Dave. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, I just wanted to say I love you guys. I listen to you all the time. And I've called a few times. I've played some games in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I heard that you got the bobbleheads back. And I know you hate when people call up like this. But what can I do to get the bobblehead, Dan?
Now, do you have one of my bobbleheads already?
No, I don't have any bobbleheads.
Well, this is a Haney one, and we'll give you one.
You're the best. All right. I appreciate it.
Hold on. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Scotty in Jersey about the cop that got shot there.
Yeah, he's from up in Wayne, New Jersey.
Yeah, he was a firefighter. I was just going to let you guys know. I wasn't sure if you were aware of that or not.
Yeah, he was a volunteer firefighter in Wayne, New Jersey. Came down to Fort Myers, became a cop down here. The guy is all about helping people.
Yes, he is. He's a good guy, and everybody that knows him in that area, including me, I didn't know him personally, but we're all pulling for him. So
absolutely, and he's got the GoFundMe, and our prayers are going out.
It's good to know the people up north are with him too.
Yep.
Yep, this is a guy that's always stuck in traffic in Jersey. I called you guys a couple times. So I just want to let you know, he was from Wayne, New Jersey, as a firefighter.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for the phone call. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
This is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, from Naples.
Hey, Dennis from Naples.
I just wanted to let everyone know, too, how good the Pewter Mug is, and they are moving.
I know they are.
A mile and a half north.
I know they are. You know, the old building just couldn't handle it anymore.
Nope. It's been there a long time.
Yes, it has, since 1970.
They've been doing it right a long time.
And, yes, we're aware of that. And when they finally move in, we'll tell you. But open for business still at the old location, but they are moving. Ahoy.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing good. Who's this?
This is Ryan from Cape Coral.
Hey, Ryan.
Well, I just wanted to say glad to have you guys back. I know it's been a little while now, but glad no changes were made.
Yeah, you and me both.
Thank God for that.
We go on vacation, and what do you mean?
Dave, this isn't the first time that they just say go on vacation.
Yep.
So, Haney, you got an invite to a certain little get-together that I didn't see yet, my friend.
It is?
Porkapalooza.
Oh. Yeah, I don't leave the house.
thrown by good old Jeff Hornsby there.
I probably should have gone to that. I probably would have had a good time. I take it you were there?
It was a hell of a time. It was phenomenal.
Tell everybody what it was about and what happened.
Well, Jeff and a couple of his buddies put on this thing every year. It's a private get-together. It's a big smoking grill out right down there on the causeway. They had a whole pig. They had brisket. They had ribs. I mean, it was
I saw the pictures. It looked like there was like a million people there.
There was close to probably about 250 to 300, I would say, if not more. I mean, I could be off on that. I was a little tipsy that day.
Yeah. But damn it, I should have gone.
They were passing around the bucket, and all the proceeds went to H.K. Edgerton. And that was
love him.
That was the gentleman that came down and spoke on Fort Myers' behalf for the General Lee bus.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it, and thank you for phoning.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
I bet you, buddy.
Yeah, love that Keep Lee and Lee crowd.
One more, and then we got to take a break. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Derek in Fort Myers.
Derek, how are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. Hey, what about a standing handy night at the ballpark?
Can't talk about it. Jeez. Let me explain one thing, and then I'm going to take the break because we got to make room for Mike Giannopoulos. There are things that we would like to have traditions made up with, and a lot of it happens because the people that we do things with, they're good people working there, too, that have had years-long mm-hmm. relationships. Well, just like Chuck Caton can't work for the Carolina Hurricanes anymore because they do changes in personnel and management and all that. Things changed. Not that we still love the miracle, just the person that used
well,
to go
without
put that
mentioning
together.
Any organization, let's just say hypothetically, if you're from Southwest Florida, you know Stan and Haney.
Hi.
If you come from another area of the country and you are taking over a job, you don't know Stan and Haney from Adam.
Nope.
New town to you.
Yeah.
So you go with what worked wherever it is that you came from.
Right. It worked there. It's got to work here. Well, you're going to have Stan and Haney. Who are they?
I'm not going to have a couple of... What we're building this around a couple of disc jockeys? Yeah, I think not.
Yahoos. Mike Giannopoulos is making his way into the studio.
I learned my mistake. We had a local adult contemporary station. They had a morning show they said was very popular, Mike and Maddie, and they didn't draw anybody.
Mike Giannopoulos taking your phone calls. He's a lawyer, okay? You need to talk to a lawyer.
He is a lawyer. He's a lot of other things, too.
Yep. 877-9600.
He's a veteran.
Yep.
If you're a veteran, he knows his way around the VA, and
former
he knows
judge.
And he knows what you have to deal with.
Veterans issues, family law, DUI, criminal. This is your chance to talk to an attorney. Not often do you get a chance.
Somebody's screwing with you if you've never had to deal with the law or have an attorney in your life. Mike is great.
Yep.
He has just a gift of being able to explain things in layman's terms where, oh, I get it now. So they are trying to screw me.
Yep. He's next, taking your phone calls. We're Stan and Haney.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for many years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like. And then they said something else, but I forgot what it was.
Stan and Haney
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mike Chiannopoulos here, 277-9600, if you'd like to talk to him. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Hour away from Stan's Name That Movie, chance for you to win. We'll see if we can get your phone calls in today if you want to talk. But Mike Chiannopoulos in studio right now has come in. And when Mike says he wants to talk about something on the air, both Haney and I say, absolutely. And during the song, he was telling me what is going on with a mom who contacted him. And Southwest Florida and our listeners hopefully can help.
Well, he's on the front line.
And I want to turn things over to Mike Chiannopoulos right now Absolute Law. And please tell everybody what's going on and how parents in cases like this are handcuffed.
They are. This is a friend of mine, and she's a single mom, has a 14-year-old daughter, and the father's never been involved, lives in another state, and the child has been a challenge to raise. She has some medical issues and some other things going on, and she ran away apparently a week ago last Friday. So mom goes to bed. The kid says, "Mom, I'm going to bed. It's 10:30 Friday night. Okay, good night." Mom falls asleep in the recliner, gets up at 1 to go to bed, checks on the kid. Kid's there. Mom wakes up the next morning. Kid's gone and has taken one of mom's suitcases and a bunch of clothes. So 14 years old. Very, very beautiful young lady. She reports this to the FMPD, and they give her an incident number, and then they won't ever talk to her again. She keeps calling up there, et cetera. So she calls me, and I call down there, and I say, "Look, you know, I want to know what's going on." "Oh, well, that's the incident number. Here's a report number." "Okay, well, what's the report say?" "Report says basically she's a runaway, and we're not doing anything about it." I said, "Well, who's the officer assigned?" "Oh, there is no officer assigned. We don't assign these." "Wait a minute. So nobody's looking for this 14-year-old kid?" "No, she's a runaway. She left because she wanted to. Nobody abducted her. No sign of foul play." "Really? Are you kidding me right now?" And this was before Officer Miller's tragic shooting. And I want to say this. Yeah, I'm banging a little bit on the FMPD about this case, but I also want to say that, you know, my thoughts and prayers remain with Officer Miller and his family. That was a horrible tragedy, and we all pray that he's going to be okay.
Absolutely.
But back to the other case. It's not okay that nobody's looking for this 14-year-old girl. We don't know that some predator didn't, through social media or some other way, encourage her to leave. We don't know that she's not with a serial rapist or a serial murderer. We don't know that she's not being assaulted.
Why is it that, we get these Amber Alerts on our phones.
But that's an abduction.
That's
not a runaway.
For things from Dade County and...
Because it's statewide. And that's why you get it for Dade County. You know, had this kid been taken from a Walmart or something, absolutely, you would have got an Amber Alert. But because there's no sign of foul play and because it appears that she chose to leave, they say,
we don't care. But a 14-year-old isn't in a position to decide to leave.
She's a minor.
But you can't, there's no law, and you cannot force law enforcement to do a job that you think they ought to do. They have discretion to perform their duties in a way that their leadership sees fit. And I think it is morally repugnant that anyone would tell the mother of a 14-year-old missing child, well, your kid's not important. She chose to run away. You must be a horrible person, lady. She chose to leave you, so let her go. Really?
Here's your numbers. Here's your incident number. Here's your report number.
Yeah.
What does that
and
mean?
And no officer assigned to it.
No, won't even assign an officer to it. So,
even check. What about, like, checking the computer that she used? What about, who knows that there's somebody from another state that's a grown adult?
All of her social media. Going to the kids that she goes to school with? Has anybody heard from her? Has she reached out? Maybe she's not reaching out to the mom, but she's reached out to somebody else. Again, you don't know that this kid hasn't been manipulated to leave, not been abducted. You don't know there's no foul play.
You would think someone in this kid's circle would have at least an idea.
Without some information. A doubt.
Who she's been talking to before she left, something, right?
Without
a doubt. But they don't care. She's a runaway. She chose to leave.
Now,
And the mother just really has no idea.
No, she turned to Mike and said, I can't get anywhere.
And you can't, you can't force the FMPD to do their job. Now, I wish the LCSO had jurisdiction over this because I know Mike Scott and his people would never stand for this. They'd go find that kid. I promise you.
Now, let me ask you.
I know them.
You told me during the break that you have a picture of this person.
Can they not get involved?
Hell, it's not.
Because it's still Lee County.
Right, but it's not. They do have overlapping jurisdiction, but there's also a memorandum of understanding between agencies where, FMPD takes care of
the city. Do you want us to put the picture up on our website?
I do, and I texted it to your phone.
All right, and we're clear with the parent to have the name of the child.
For that matter, what about FHP?
Yeah, maybe we can call somebody at FHP and see if they'd help out.
FDLE, call everybody.
Yeah, FDLE won't do anything. That's not their job. But I want to say this, too. Anybody who wants to post this picture of this child as a missing child on their website or thinks that they can help find this child, please call me, 239-ASK-MIKE. I'll send you the picture. I'll send you the name.
All right.
I want to find this kid.
I don't agree with you. I completely agree with you, and we're going to have it up on our website.
And she disappeared Friday night.
Saturday morning, early. Right. So sometime between 1 a.m. and 9 a.m. on Saturday, a week ago.
She's been gone a week.
Oh, she's been gone 10 days.
And nothing.
Nothing. Not a word. And that's what makes me feel like, okay, maybe there was no evidence initially of foul play, somebody breaking into the house or whatever. But look, this 14-year-old kid had no money, not a dime. She had some clothes in a suitcase, so she's got to reach out to somebody, or she's with an adult, and that, to me, is kidnapping.
Get it? Yes! Okay, we're going to go and have the person picture, the name of the person, and if anybody can help, and to contact, contact you?
Yeah, 239-ASK-MIKE.
Now, I don't want to get too personal or anything, but had they had words or anything? Was there anything leading up to this?
Is there a past history of running away?
There is a past history of her sneaking out at night and stuff. Like I said, this child has been a challenge to raise because she has some medical issues and she has some other things going on. And she's been a challenge to raise. And so she's, seeing counselors, et cetera, for the issues and the traumas that happened to her. So she's been a challenge. But I don't care. Look. A 14-year-old girl, a beautiful little 14-year-old girl is missing. She had no money when she left. You can't tell me that there's not an adult involved in this. And in my mind, that makes it a crime.
Yeah.
277-9600. We have once again, full phones and once again, full texts. Let's go to Jim on line one.
I'm sorry, Mike. That's horrible.
Jim?
I know. And I know this kid personally.
Jim?
Yep.
You're on with Mike.
Hi, Mike. I have a sort of kind of an issue. My wife was shopping at a big box store down here in Naples about six weeks ago. She was back at the milk doors. She opened the door to get a half gallon of milk out, and it has a stop bar on there, and the next one's supposed to slide down, stop.
Right.
Well, about four or five of them came tumbling out, hit her in the leg and the ankle, knocked her down. She was okay. We took pictures of it. She took pictures of it. She came home. We took her to urgent care. She had a contusion, bruising, nothing broken. We filed a claim for the medical attention. Their claims adjuster at the big box store denied the whole thing, denied it all. Will small claims court in Naples, will they handle an issue like that?
Yes, they will. And what you're looking at is her medical bills and, you know, some other things. If she missed any work, you're looking at that for damages. Her medical bills are damages, and there should be some pain and suffering there. Now, remember, small claims court only covers cases up to $5,000. And so if that was merely a bruise, that would probably be the way to go get her medical bills back. If she has some serious kind of injury or something that, you know, an ankle that may need surgery or something, now you're looking at a different court, and you should probably consult an attorney.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was just thinking, you know, at that point, you've got the retail store, the manufacturer of the device that's supposed to hold the milk.
All of that stuff, yep.
And, you know, products liability is strict liability. If you manufactured that product and it hurt somebody, or you were even in the chain of distribution for that product, you're on the hook.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm going to go to the Absolute Law text line real quick, and then we'll go back to the phone calls. Mike, I have a friend who used to live in an apartment. He moved out because they were going to not renew his lease. This was a month ago. I walked by his old apartment today, and there was an eviction notice on the door. How can they evict him if he's already been out of the apartment for a month because they wouldn't renew his lease?
Well, it depends, because it depends when his lease ended and whether he paid all his rent through the end of the lease, et cetera. And they may need to do that to clear up the title, because remember, a lease is an interest in real property. Real property is that which has dirt and a building, et cetera, as opposed to personal property like a car. And so they may need to do that to clear it all up, to show that they can rent it to the next person and there's no problem.
Here's George on line two. George, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hi there.
Hey, George. What do you got for us?
Well, I don't know what to do.
Are you George or Georgia?
It's Georgianne.
Oh, Georgianne.
Georgianne. Georgianne, are you Greek?
No, but my name is Greek.
Yes, it is.
I was named after my Uncle George.
Yes, it is, Georgianne. I love that name, by the way. So go ahead. What's your question?
Well, I was in a car accident Wednesday of last week, and I mean, I've never been in a car accident, and I kind of don't know where to begin. It was her fault. She hit me, and then she took off for about 20 minutes. Some guy that was following behind actually went to where she was, which was 0.2 miles from the accident, and took a picture of her license plate, and then she came back.
Mm.
So, I mean, my truck is total.
Were you injured, Georgianne?
I was able to walk away from it. Now I've had my back and my neck. I've been in excruciating pain since.
Where did she hit you? Did she rear end you, or?
It was driver's side.
So what happened? Did she blow a stop sign, or what happened?
Well, I was heading on 41, and she was kind of turning around to get onto 41, so she should have waited, and she didn't.
Okay. All right.
You just ran right into me.
Well, the first thing that I will tell you is PIP coverage, P-I-P, stands for Personal Injury Protection. Thanks to Rick Scott, they changed the law to take away your insurance, essentially. So now you only have 10 days from the date of the accident within which to go see a medical provider. If you don't do that, then you don't have any PIP coverage. Okay.
I already went to the hospital that evening.
Good,
good,
good. All right. So what you do next is come see a lawyer. You can call me at 239-ASK-MIKE. I'm going to give you the Greek discount just for having a Greek name.
thanks.
But call me. I don't do personal injury work, but I have a very good friend that does, and I have a great network of people that I reach out to.
Yeah, he does.
And I pick people who only do this kind of work. And I send them those cases that I don't do. And same thing for, you know, bankruptcy I don't do. I have the best bankruptcy attorney in the state. I send my work to him because I don't do bankruptcy. So I've got a great personal injury guy. Call my office, 239-ASK-MIKE, and we'll get you linked up with that person. They're going to talk to you and find out all the facts and then walk you through the steps that you need to do. And they don't charge for that for the initial consultation. And if they end up taking your case, they don't charge you anything, except for a percentage of what they get for you. So if they get you nothing, they get paid nothing.
All right.
Okay.
There you go, sweetheart.
Speaking of Greece, isn't Greece on fire?
It is. I saw that, and I'm supposed to be there, like, in a couple of months.
Let's hope they put it out.
70 people have died.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Let's take one final call, and then I want to get word out again about the missing girl. This is Tom on line 3. Tom, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Ahoy, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, Tom, what do you got for us today?
Well, I'll try to keep this as short as I can. It's a child support question. I have two daughters, same mother. We had everything originally set in another state. We moved to Florida. The state of Florida adopted the out-of-state order. Through that, I am required for the health insurance coverage. Mom works for the hospital system now and has a really good insurance plan, and that's what she uses for our children. She absolutely never uses my insurance, and so what I've done so far is I have filled out, I guess, a motion for a modification or a review. And I believe now I'm waiting for an affidavit, financial affidavit that I need to fill out. And I'm just curious as to what am I looking at now after that?
All right. So there's no motion to do that. It's a supplemental petition. So it's a petition which kind of starts things all over again. It's a very long and cumbersome process. And if you're going to do that and you're going to fight about it, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Now, let me short circuit all this for you. Does Mom agree to keep the insurance with her?
Oh, absolutely. She's actually in complete agreement to get me to so I can drop this.
All right. Then all you do is you file a stipulation. So you come see me, 239-ASK-MIKE. We type up a stipulation that says the parties stipulate to this modification to their previous order. And you say why, you know, availability of insurance has changed. It's now more beneficial for the children. They have better coverage with Mom. It's cheaper. The parties have worked out the costs regarding it. And so now we change this section to say Mom will keep the insurance so long as reasonably available through her employment. And if it becomes no longer available, then the parties will readdress the issue at the time. You guys agree to it. We submit it to the court with an order asking the court to adopt your stipulation. It then becomes court order and you're done. You can go that long way if you want to, but it's going to be a year and it's going to be time consuming.
So
and if you hire lawyers, costly.
If she agrees to it, it could be much simpler.
We do a stipulation and it's over in 5 minutes. It's painless.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Excellent. Thank you.
You betcha.
All right.
One last time, we're going to post the picture of this missing 14-year-old girl.
Oh, God.
Anything more that you can say about this?
You know, it just breaks my heart. She's a beautiful young lady, and I don't know. You know, yeah, the evidence that we have shows that she left voluntarily. She ran away. I don't know that she wasn't talked into leaving with some predator. Again, she left with an adult. She left with somebody who had a car because she had clothes
had some
and no
means
money.
Of supporting her.
Yeah, yeah. This kid didn't have a dime, and she's 14. So, you know, I don't know that she's not being sexually exploited. I don't know that she's not with a serial rapist or murderer, and nobody wants to help find this kid.
Is this a recent photograph?
It is.
And
I got it from
and,
the mom.
And we will need her
I'll put her name.
Name
out there. And, you know, anybody who's seen this kid, anybody who knows anything about this kid, anybody who please go and look on the webpage and see who it is. If you have children around that age that may know her, may know some people she hangs out with, please, any information.
Because you're not getting any help.
No, we're having to do this ourselves. And mom doesn't, you know, mom's a working class, hardworking, single mom with no help from a dad. And she doesn't have thousands of dollars to go spend on a private investigator.
And if you know anything about this girl or you know somebody who might know somebody
please
about this
girl. Please call me. 239-ASK-MIKE.
She's been gone 10 days now. And
no sign.
I take it that the place, her home that she's missing from is in the actual city of Fort
it
Myers.
It is. It's in Fort
All
Myers.
All right. We'll have that up before the end of the day, Mike.
Thank you, gentlemen.
He is Mike Chiannopoulos.
And keep us posted.
I will.
239-ASK-MIKE if you want to get a hold of him 24/7. He's here every Tuesday.
He's a good man.
On our show, the Stan and Haney Show. Mike, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We'll be back.
We made Jason Priestley cry like a woman. And we can do the same for you if you're some sort of effeminate, drug-addled, washed-up asshole. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic here in just a second. Your first look at traffic news headlines. With Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails in 30 minutes. Stan's Name That Movie. Today we're going to feature an actor who's been making great movies for about 50 years. Robert Duvall. He is going to be the featured
actor.
Love him.
Five movie clips. Your job is to name the film. Be the first person to do so. Get yourself a prize. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just one thing on the board right now. It's in Fort Myers. It is a crash. Eagle Ridge Drive and Daniels Parkway. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What's in store? Well, he's got it for you. He's got today's headlines. Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you. You didn't know.
All right.
We'll have other things as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You ever play around with Google Translate?
Yes. Yes, I have.
It can be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Somebody with way too much time on their hands has found something disturbing with Google Translate. We will explain.
All right.
If there's one thing this show is known for, it's keeping you up to date on all the latest fast food and junk food nonsense.
Yep.
We got something could be a game changer.
Really? Are we getting it in this country?
I believe so.
All right.
A man who called in a bomb threat to avoid missing his flight gets 4 months in prison. And finally, Stan, I just have to ask you.
What?
You don't moonlight as an apartment complex manager in Tennessee, do you?
No, why?
Because an apartment complex in Tennessee posted an eviction notice last week that said, "Guess who's moving? You," along with a big smiling emoji.
Love it. How are y'all doing today? Oh, I got the place fixed up nice, don't you? Why don't you gather up your stuff?
Guess who's moving? You! These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. We like to send it your way. Thank you, baby. Each and every day. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
D-Train.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
Today is National Tequila Day. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
tequila fun facts.
Top tequila fun facts.
Tequila is very handy because it's clear. That means your boss will think it's water.
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah, you would. You do love it, don't you? It's all you right there.
The most expensive bottle of tequila ever sold was in 2006. The price?
Yeah.
$225,000, which was the first time ever anyone made a terrible decision before drinking a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
They go together, tequila and lime.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you can't find a lime, a handful of green Skittles will do in a pinch.
Yep.
Tequila is responsible for some of the best and worst decisions Kiefer Sutherland has ever made. You know, there's actually a town called Tequila.
Really?
Smells like vomit there.
Done, son.
Yeah.
Something just came up from my stomach.
I will never, ever forget one of those Christmas parties we were forced to go to. Mm-hmm. There's a girl that worked here, mm-hmm. and she was just down in tequila mm-hmm. and vomited all the way through the bell tower. And then I'm told she went to Lehigh and vomited some more. Oh. Tequila is Spanish for dilated pupils.
God, Jerry. You're dilated.
And finally,
yes,
the very top tequila fun fact.
Yes.
It's best consumed from a wine glass. Or better yet, a stripper's navel. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Email time. Ahoy. At StanandHaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
Okay.
First email is from Tom. Lives in Estero. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. I have loved your show since I found you. With no help from any billboards. I have been a resident of Fort Myers for a year and a half now, but didn't find you guys until right after Irma.
When it became a different world?
Yep. I was just flipping through the stations. I moved here after retiring from a law enforcement career of over 27 years. I just wanted to ask you if you could and ask all your listeners to pray for Officer Adam Jobbers Miller of the Fort Myers Police Department after the incident Saturday night. The power of prayer. Guys that can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
Love you guys. Signed, Tom from Estero. And thank
you. Guys are doing good.
Yes, and thank you for finding us, Tom. And thank you for your 27 years of service. This is from Kevin. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I recently moved from Cape Coral to Tennessee and was telling a friend of mine about your show. Particularly the theme song, but I can't seem to find it anywhere online in order to play it for him. Is there a place where I can hear the theme song or maybe even get it on iTunes? Thanks, signed Kevin. I turn things now over to D-Train.
I thought it was everywhere.
The theme song in its standalone form used to be available at standinthehaney.com, but no longer is. However, friend, all you got to do is download each daily podcast, and it's at the very beginning. You can just play it for your friend, and who knows, maybe stick around for the rest of the episode.
Great idea.
Yeah. Why stay the day?
Yeah, when you can...
What? How does it go? How does it go, D-Train?
The whole thing or just the punch?
Just the punch.
Why stay the day when you can spend the night at Simo Casino Hotel?
Thank you. This is from Matt. He lives in Naples. Ahoy, gentlemen. This morning, as I was packing my lunch for work, I heard a 96K Rock commercial on TV promoting the Dave and Chuck the Freak show.
They're on TV, too?
The commercial was about 15 seconds long, and not once did they mention you guys. They will sure promote the heck out of the new morning show, but when it comes to you guys, I can honestly say that I have never seen a single commercial for the Stan and Haney show in the many years I've been listening to you guys. The station may not like you, but I sure do.
I guess that's all that matters.
Yep. Always a pleasure to hear you guys on in the afternoon. Stan, Haney, D-Train, keep up the good work. Signed, Matt. Thank you, Matt. It's the truth. Let's see.
is from Robert. Checked out the Terror.
Oh, good.
Ahoy, Haney. Thank you for the recommendation of this extraordinarily well-done and well-written show. Thought I'd at least try to down the series opener, but ended up binge-watching four episodes. What solidified my interest? When the girl was presented the seal, mm-hmm. and the argument that arose with the eight-person rescue party. You need anything from Vegas, by the way? Heading there this weekend, I owe you. Signed, Robert.
That's awesome.
You need anything from Vegas?
Not that I can think of. I'd have to be there.
Right, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus. Mm.
So, yesterday, I suggested that, knowing full well, it was a dangerous thing to do, but I suggested that he find out who Rod Rosenstein's wife is.
Yes. Ahoy, gentlemen. Haney, well, my head didn't explode, but I might have had a small stroke.
Jesus.
Now, folks, this is why you need to pay attention when Haney or Stan tells you something of importance.
Jesus.
Rod Rosenstein is married to Lisa, how do you say her name?
Barsoomian.
Lisa Barsoomian. She is a lawyer who currently works at the Department of Health. Now, in her previous work, she has been involved with several high-profile political figures. Here's who and how many times. The FBI, 5 times. Mueller, 3 times. Comey, 5 times. Obama, 45 times. Kathleen Sebelius, 55 times. Bill Clinton, 40 times. And lastly, old fat ass Hillary, 17 times. And this occurred from 1991 to 2017. Now, here's what I consider to be the paper-thin line. She didn't represent any one of them on a personal level, but through her role as a federal attorney. That is what they want you to believe. Well, to me, if you interact with someone on a legal basis 45 times, you're representing them. As I said, paper-thin difference. Now, this is also strange. A lot of the cases she has worked on, the court records and documents have mysteriously disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another tidbit. Sessions wanted Rosenstein to be his number two at the Justice Department. Now, those two, plus Mueller, plus Comey, plus McCabe, all have a nice, cozy relationship. It's very bothersome to me that none of the media has actively investigated this issue. Well, I better stop now before I have another damn stroke. Thank you, Haney, for bringing this information to light. Keep it up. Pay attention, folks. There's evil out there that must be stopped. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
Done it again.
It really is,
yeah, it's
amazing that it's this very small group of people involved in everything.
Yep. They're the ones that control it all. Very small group. You could probably have a nice little get together here at K-Rock, and they control it all. Yeah. Yep. And if they don't like you, well, take a look at what's happening to Trump. We'll be back.
By the way, Guardian, you also might want to investigate John Brennan.
Oh, that thief.
Here's a good jumping off point. See if you can find out when John Brennan was sworn in if he used a Bible or not.
Oh, we'll be back. Name that movie next. Robert Duvall. We're Stan and Haney.
This is not a test. If this were an actual test, we would have told you otherwise.
Stan and Haney
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Tuesday edition, 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We're going to take care of traffic here in just a second. Then we'll play Stan's Name That Movie. Today, a little piece, just a little piece of a 50-plus year career in the movies. The great character actor Robert Duvall will be featured. I do want to pass along this text that we just got. I always like to hear this. Guys, I just wanted to say thanks. My wife and I are going to Mattress Firm, hopefully to get a new bed. So thank you for the promos that y'all did.
Oh, you're going to be happy.
You're going to love it. Let's get you updated on traffic. Then we'll play you some Robert Duvall movie clips.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. This will start it off in North Fort Myers. Crash, Orange Grove Boulevard and August Street. And this one in Lehigh Acres. Crash, Wallace Avenue South and State Road 82. And you are up to date. Stan's Name That Movie. I got five movie clips for you. Your job is to be the first person to identify the film. And we select Robert Duvall today, who has been making movies since the 60s and still makes them today when he feels like it. And usually when he plays a part, usually a supporting role, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I went to go and put together clips, you can only scratch the surface of the great movies that he's been in.
I think we all have our favorites.
We do, and I'm sure that not all of them are going to be here.
I hope mine is.
I don't know. Oh, I think, and if it's this one, it's not, but let me write this down.
Yep.
No.
Oh, come on!
I didn't because we about a year or 2 years ago, we did him and I used that one. I think I'm repeating like one film.
So I can talk about that one.
Yes, you can.
Tender Mercies.
Is one of his greatest films. That
incredible.
One, I want to say, came out in the 80s?
Yeah. Max Sledge, wasn't that his name in that movie?
It was a great film. A lot of music in that film.
Awesome.
And so trying to find clips for
If you've never seen that one, it's worth a watch. Tender Mercies.
1983.
Yeah, that's about right. Will you lock these down? Because they don't know what movie I'm playing right now. Thank you. Answer.
I don't know what movie you're playing right
be
now.
Be the first to answer.
Because you're not playing a movie right now.
Be the first to answer. You get your choice of a prize. We have our last bottle in the building of Babacoo Saw.
Hopefully no one swiped it since we've been on the air.
$50 to Irigazi Pizza in Cape Coral. We've got a pair of tickets to the Fort Myers Gun Show. We have a complimentary auto health checkup from Naples Nissan. That's an oil change, brake check, top off the fluids, tire rotation, multi-point inspection. You don't have to own a Nissan to get this all done. We give you the certificate and you head down there and say, I need it. Tickets to an upcoming miracle game of your choice. Haney bobblehead. I'll sign it. And $50 to the pewter mug in Naples. Those are the prizes available. You just have to be the first one to identify the film. This is a more recent Robert Duvall film. Again, supporting actor. Great film. Was up for an Academy Award, too. Name this Robert Duvall film.
I just sent what might be my best song ever to Tommy.
What, to record?
Yeah, it's one of those you hate to give up.
Why'd you do it?
Oh, he's paying me awful good. He's in L.A. now recording it.
So your boy don't want to talk to you?
No. I don't blame him. I was wrong. I had no right to call him.
Wait, hold on. You were wrong 25 years ago, and you've been wrong since, but you called him. Now you're not wrong. You're right, he's wrong.
Wayne, I went 24 years without trying to find him. He's right, too little, too late.
No, never too late, son. Never too late. You called and it's done, all right? It's complete. Now you're on the right track. You just keep going because he's your son. All right?
That is all I got.
Well, you keep after him. That's what you got to do.
Name that movie. Great film. Everything he's in is good. Phone lines are released.
You know, I wonder if that's... if he's just got excellent representation, or if it's him that says, I will do this, I won't do that.
Well, let's give you an example. I'll tell you at the end. can't do that right now. But he makes his choices. But for him to be in a film, the price has to be right. He doesn't do these anymore for free or small. They want a great character actor. They'll pay. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy. Hello.
Yeah, can you name the movie?
I think I'm wrong, but I think Open Range.
Nope. Good guess, but no. Ahoy, who's this?
Adam.
Adam, can you name it?
Crazy Heart.
It is. It's Crazy Heart. Jeff Bridges in that movie. What would you like?
Let me get not the pewter mug, the other one.
Irigazi in Cape Coral?
Sounds good.
You got it, buddy. Hold on. All right, and that is off the board. That's it for Irigazi. That went fast. All right, we're up to Robert Duvall, movie clip number 2. There's just so many. Name this movie.
Tim, I realize Harry's been around a long time. I'm not saying that his ways are antiquated, but it helped to have a car that handled properly and didn't blow engines.
Well, if he wouldn't get excited and over-rev, the son of a bitch, the engine wouldn't blow. Now, Cole, when you shift the gear and that little needle on the tackles into the red and reads 9,000 RPM, that's bad.
It's also my fault if the tires blow, if you ask this old fart.
Well, hell yes, it's your fault. There's 40 other vultures out there who managed to finish the race on their tires. You see Darrell Waltrip using up his tires?
There's nothing I can't do with a race car.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. There's only so much I can do.
That's obvious.
Harry, he doesn't need to appreciate your job to do his.
Well, he sure as hell does. How can he expect a race if he don't know what a race car can and can't do?
What is it, huh? You want me to work the pit and you drive?
Fine, we'll try that. I can't talk to this son of a bitch. I can't talk to that son of a bitch. I really can't. I can't.
Think he can drive?
Oh, he can drive. He can drive beyond the limits of the tires, the engine, the car, anything else. If the son of a bitch listened to me, we wouldn't hardly ever lose a race.
Name the movie. 277.
God, he's good in everything.
Everything. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Joe from Naples.
Joe, can you name the movie?
Is it Days of Thunder?
It is Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise. What would you like?
Can I take the pewter mug?
You sure can. $50 to the pewter mug. Hold on. Nice job. Movie clip number 3. Robert Duvall is the actor that we're focusing on today. And this is another great one. Name the movie.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, guys like you always say you don't know what you're going to do until you do it. I think you know exactly what you were going to do. You were going to kill your wife and child.
No.
Yeah. And then you knew it would be too late to turn back. It would be real easy to turn the gun around on yourself. Now, let's go meet some nice policemen. They're good guys. Come on, let's go.
I'm the bad guy?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? I did everything they told me to. Did you know I build missiles?
Yeah.
I help to protect America?
You should be rewarded for that. Instead, they give it to the plastic surgeon. You know, they lied to me. Is that what this is about? You're angry because you got lied to? Is that why my chicken dinner's drying out in the oven? Hey, they lie to everybody. They lie to the fish. But that doesn't give you any special right to do what you did today. The only thing that makes you special is that little girl. Now let's go. Let's go!
Name the movie. That's a good movie, too. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is James.
James, can you name the movie?
That is Falling Down.
It is Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
Having a bad day, that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, that's all. It was just a bad day. What would you like?
I'll take the Haney bobblehead signed by you.
You got it, buddy. Hold on. You'll enjoy it. They're good quality bobbleheads.
Yeah, they're top notch.
Yep. I don't think that Robert Duvall doesn't like to do a comedy every now and again.
Because he can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants, like this. Name the movie. You know our love was meant to be.
Dad! Hey, Dad! Barbara said yes!
Hey, son. This is Janice. I met at the A&P.
Hi.
We're going to get married.
Can I talk to you? Hello?
Yeah.
Be right back.
Nice to meet you, Barbara. Heard a lot about you.
It's nice to meet you.
She's great looking. What are you talking about?
No,
she's terrific.
You're getting married?
Look, Phil, I'm lonely. I'm a man. It hasn't been easy for me since your mom died.
She didn't die. She divorced you.
Tomatoes, tomatoes. Baby.
1 year later, on the proudest day of my life, he was right there by my side.
There he is, your grandson. Sam, 7 pounds, 6 ounces.
Oh, by the way, he had a son on the same day.
Take a gander at your brother, Bucky.
Bucky.
7 pounds, 7. It's a little bit bigger.
Welcome to my life.
Name the movie. That's a good movie, too.
Uh-huh.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Taylor.
Taylor, can you name the movie?
Is it Elf?
No. No. You're thinking of Bob Newhart. who's a funny guy. Him and Don Rickles used to vacation together.
Yeah. Small world, isn't it?
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tom in Naples.
Tom, can you name the movie?
Kicking and Screaming.
It is Kicking and Screaming. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
You got anything left for the Peter Mug?
I do. You got
Excellent.
It. Hold on,
Thank
buddy.
You.
Yeah. With Will Ferrell. Kicking and Screaming. That's where he had the little rundown with Ditka.
Like just met her at the A&P.
Yeah, little floozy. Now, as I said, Robert Duvall has been in movies for 50 years. He was, and if take a look at the Steve McQueen classic, Bullet. He was the cab driver that drove Steve McQueen around. That was in 1968. He's still making movies. And he's been in some great movies.
Better with age.
Yeah. Yep. Well, here was one where he was a little younger, and he did all right.
All right, start talking.
I was sent by a friend of Johnny Fontaine. This friend is my client. He would give his undying friendship to Mr. Walsh. Mr. Walsh would grant us a small favor.
Walsh, who's listening?
Give Johnny the part in the new war film you're starting next week.
And what favor would your friend grant Mr. Walsh?
You're going to have some union problems. My client could make them disappear. Also, one of your top stars has just moved from marijuana to heroin.
Are you trying to muscle me?
Absolutely
now
not.
Now, listen to me, you smooth-talking son of a bitch. Let me lay it on the line for you and your boss, whoever he is. Johnny Fontaine will never get that movie. I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
I'm German-Irish.
Well, let me tell you something, my Kraut Mick friend. I'm going to make so much trouble for you, you won't know what
to
hit
you. Mr. Walsh, I'm a lawyer. I have not threatened.
I know almost every big lawyer in New York. Who the hell are you?
I have a special practice. I handle one client. Now, you have my number. I'll wait for your call. By the way, I admire your pictures very much.
In the movie.
Admire your pictures very much.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. I must fly back to New York. My client needs to hear bad news immediately.
Special practice.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this? Oh, I got to turn it on. That helped. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Dave.
Hey, Dave, can you name the movie?
The Godfather.
It is The Godfather. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
What do you have? I just...
Yeah, you just wake up from a nap? I've got a bottle of barbecue sauce. I got Fort Myers Gun Show. I got a complimentary auto health checkup from Naples Nissan. I've got Miracle Game tickets. I got a Haney bobblehead, and I have $50 to the pewter mug.
I'll take the pewter mug.
You got it, buddy. Hold
well
on.
Done.
Well done. Wake up. Have a hot cup of coffee. let's put the lid on this one.
You know what? You were channeling Don Rickles there.
Well, did you hear him?
I did. And he enjoyed the fact that you picked on him.
Because I hit it on the head.
And that concludes Stan's tribute to the great Robert Duvall. Tune in next week. It gets even better as Stan pays tribute to the clinically insane Shelley Duvall.
Oh, God!
He's from Radio City in Estero. No. This is Mark Haney speaking.
Sweet heaven. The Beasleys actually pay these two for this shit?
Oh, yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. This being the Stan and Haney program. Mark Haney in the news coming up here in just a second. We'll also get you updated on traffic coming in at 6 o'clock. Will be Mr. Roger Marley, sir.
Yeah.
I'm trying to treat him with the utmost respect.
Yeah, kind of shocked, man. I can't believe he's really here. I thought he only flew in for games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drives a Camaro, too, I think.
Don't.
Yeah, let's take it for a spin. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home.
Heard he wants Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
We'll start a couple of things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. There is a crash, McGregor Boulevard and Colonial Boulevard on the off-ramp. And still working that crash in Lehigh Acres, Wallace Avenue South and State Road 82. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Eric Severide in New York, George Herman in Washington, Leslie Stahl in Washington, Fred P. Graham in Atlanta, Peter Kalischer in Paris, Tom Fenton in Paris, Robert Shackney in Des Moines, and tonight, a special report, the energy crisis.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, July 24th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know. I will be the first to admit I don't know with this Common Core business what's being taught in our schools.
I don't know either.
But I do know this. In other countries, they learn alternative facts. In Greece, Portugal, Spain, and most Latin American countries, children are taught there are only six continents on Earth. North and South America are combined into one continent called the Americas. Now, that might have been true at one time.
Yeah.
But the United States of America, we cut it.
Yep. Isn't that that Panama Canal?
Yep.
Cut it in two.
Mm-hmm.
So there is water separating both.
Yep.
Two
we
continents.
Made it happen.
Yep. U.S. of A. I think that was a Teddy Roosevelt project.
Boy, he would be very dismayed.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't know what the hell's going on. And back then, he was thought of as progressive. But he'd look at today and go, well, what the hell?
Well, see, the Bush family's in on it. So I think you only have to go back to Reagan to have presidents going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Stan, are you legally allowed to mail a live pheasant utilizing the U.S. mail?
I will say, since you even brought it up, yes. Yes, you can.
No, I just made it up.
Oh.
See, I got to do that once in a while to keep you on your diet. No, actually, you're only partially right, Stan.
Probably for a while you could. Now it's against the law.
Nope, you're completely wrong there. You can legally mail a live pheasant through the U.S. mail, but you can only do it between April and August. Otherwise, it's off limits.
What?
It's true.
Maybe because when the weather's warm.
Mm-hmm. Does Cookie Monster have a name other than Cookie Monster?
Not that I remember. Unless from early on in the show, you know.
Cookie Monster has a name.
Yeah, what is it?
Sid.
Sid? Did you know that?
No. And here's why we didn't know. It was only revealed on an episode of Sesame Street in 2004. So I don't know if he's been Sid the whole time or if they just made it up.
I think they made it up. I don't like that one bit. Here's a little thing for you, because Jim Henson and the Muppets. Sesame Street came along, I want to say, in the late 1960s, if I'm not mistaken, on PBS. When he was starting out with
those... Oh, so it was new when we were watching?
Yeah, I think it was relatively new. I think it was in the late 60s, wasn't it?
Yep, November 10th, 1969 was the airing of episode one.
Now, he got his recognition on the Ed Sullivan Show. He used to be a guest. They used to have the jugglers come out.
The jugglers.
Yeah, the jugglers come out, Topo Gigio and Senior
Some of the
Wences.
Best chimp acts you'd ever want to see.
Plate spinner. And Ed would periodically book Jim Henson's Muppets to come out and perform. These acts that Henson did, kids loved them.
Wasn't he involved with Saturday Night Live early
yes,
on, too?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
But we're talking mid-60s. These Muppets were creepy. It was four adults and kids liked the animals or the puppets. But I believe Kermit and Snuffleupagus and all were part of his stage act that he did. And they were not to go and teach kids little things like on Sesame Street. They were for entertainment and going, oh, my God, look at these puppeteers and how they can create these things. It was pretty amazing stuff, too. And you can see it on YouTube and things like that. Pretty amazing. Oh, yeah, here he's got some right now from the old show. Let me see if I can get the sound on it. It's from the Ed Sullivan Show. And the creatures were really creepy looking.
And as we learned from a past episode of Haney's News, that theme song was originally from an Italian porn.
Yep. Thank you for reminding me there, D-Train. You're right. That was from an Italian porn film. They had another one. I remember Scrap Yap. And then it would eat the other Muppets. It was not meant for kids.
I don't know, but whenever that song comes on, you just got to stop what you're doing and pay attention. During the headlines, I asked you if you had ever played around with Google Translate.
And I have.
It can be amusing.
Yes, it can. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I was just using it the other night is because I was looking at family ancestry stuff. A lot of it's in French, and you hit that translate. And suddenly I can read it.
Yeah, in broken English.
Yeah.
Well, someone with way too much time on their hands, I don't know how people figure this stuff out, but someone has found, if you go, maybe D-Train can play along here. Are you too busy to do that? Go to Google Translate.
Google Trans. Okay.
All right. Now, what we need you to do is to set the language to Maori and translate it to English. Maori is the language of the indigenous people from New Zealand.
Maori?
Yeah.
The language of love.
Okay. To English, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, type the word dog, D-O-G, 18 times.
With a space or together?
Yeah, I'm assuming together.
Okay, hold on. Copy. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Nothing. It's just dog 18 times with no spaces in English as well.
All right, maybe there has to be spaces.
Throw some spaces in there, see what we get.
So while he's working on that, what this person got, or maybe they've changed it, the translation they got reads, quote, "Doomsday clock is 3 minutes at 12. We are experiencing characters and a dramatic developments in the world which indicate that we are increasingly approaching the end times Jesus' return."
That's some kind of rigged thing.
Yeah, they fixed it because now it just says dog 18 times.
Yeah.
So why did that happen?
Why?
Google swears it was just a glitch.
It must be.
And not some sort of secret message of the end times. A representative explains there's nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Saying, quote, "Google Translate learns from examples of translations on the web. This is simply a function of inputting nonsense into the system to which nonsense is generated." That's some pretty specific nonsense.
Well, they fixed it.
It was planted by the programmer who leaked the story to begin with.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Let's not play fun and games.
But they won't admit that.
Well, why would they? They got a rogue employee.
Yeah.
Kind of like you and I talk on Destiny. How do anybody know that crap's out there unless the people who programmed it put it on the internet for you to find?
Correct.
They're the one who makes the video and leaks it out to their cousin to have them make it?
Yeah.
Because no way in hell anybody would figure any of that stuff out.
Yep. You know what he's talking about?
Uh-uh.
But it sounds good.
It does. It sounds plausible.
He said it with authority, but
sure
I don't know
did.
What it means.
Yep, but I believe it.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Visit Jason and Todd with the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point for their biggest diamond sale of the summer. The Diamond District is offering half off, half the store for the entire month of July. That's right. It's a half off, half the store sale. It's Christmas in July at the Diamond District. Choose from beautiful diamond pendants, diamond earrings, diamond rings, bracelets, and more. And Jason and Todd will slash the prices in half. The Diamond District is overstocked on $7.5 million of inventory, including many loose certified diamonds. Don't buy a diamond until you visited Jason and Todd with the Diamond District. There hasn't been a better time to buy diamond jewelry than now. During the Diamond District's half off, half the store sale. No one will offer you a better value or diamond buying experience than Jason and Todd at the Diamond District during their Christmas in July sale. Half off, half the store. Only at the Diamond District.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, love Jason and Todd when they go fishing. Special good news today brought to you by Stan.
Thank you, Haney. There's a bridge in northern England called the Sutherland Bridge. And unfortunately, it's a hotspot for suicides. But check this one out. An 18-year-old college student named Paige Hunter recently came up with an idea and attached more than 40 BS uplifting notes to the side of the bridge. Did it help? Well, they say things like, to the jumper, you're not alone.
Boy, that'll make them stop.
And even though things are difficult, your life matters. And now the local police force has given her a commendation for it because they say the notes have already helped save lives of up to at least six people.
Oh, I see.
Paige says she wasn't trying to get attention or win an award. She was just trying to help people. But she's amazed at the response her uplifting notes has gotten.
Very well done, Stan. And for those of you who are wondering why Stan did that story and not me, it's because if I did that story, Stan would mock me mercilessly as to how ridiculous it is.
Did you want the 10 best fast food dessert menus?
No.
You know what's number one is Dairy Queen. And then number two is the Wiener Schnitzel. Do you know that I went to a Wiener Schnitzel in, because I don't know that they have them down here. I went to one up in Pennsylvania.
They're like fireflies. They're only up north.
They're great. It's good. It's really a good place. Hold it. What?
The same Wiener Schnitzel that's in California that just serves corn dogs?
No.
And hot dogs?
No.
Do you know what he's talking about?
No. Number three was Chick-fil-A. Number four, Jack in the Box. Number five, we don't have them, Carl's Jr., but that includes Hardee's. Taco Bell, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. Kentucky Fried Chicken round out the top 10 of the best fast food dessert menus.
Well, Stan, you are on fire today. And it's good that you bring that up, because if there's one thing this show's known for...
Do you know that last year saw 141 babies named Tesla?
No, I did not know that, Stan.
Yep.
I as a matter of fact, I guess I did know because I had seen that and I thought people wouldn't really be interested in
moo.
It.
Moo. Moo like a cow?
Yeah.
Seven girls, six boys. Arson. 11 boys. Oh, I see him here.
Are these all members of the Williams family?
Yeah, I see one girl. Vandalism. Yeah. Palmolive. That's true.
You know, I don't know what to make of the world in many, many ways today. And this story is an example of that. Chick-fil-A has just announced they're going to start selling... meal kits.
What do you mean a meal kit? Everything included?
Like Blue Apron does.
Really?
If you pick one up at one of their stores, it'll have all the ingredients for you to cook meals at home. They will cost $16.
I'll pass.
They're starting this out in Atlanta, but it could go nationwide by the end of the year. And on the bright side, there's no rule that says you can't have it on Sunday.
That's true. Look at this. This is what you get. What are you getting? You got to cook it?
Yeah. I thought the point of fast food is that you didn't have to. But.
Yeah. Oh, D-Train, go back to that girl on the bridge. She is such an adorable little thing, and she does so many good things with the uplifting
notes. You have lost
notes.
Your ever-loving mind.
There's the constable giving her a plaque.
She sounds like a graffiti artist.
Stan, would it offend you if I said you were out of your cotton-picking mind?
Hey! Hey!
I have my answer. There's a 40-year-old gent named Dana Carter from Dayton, Ohio. Back in October, he was supposed to fly to Dallas, but he was running late and was afraid he'd miss his flight. So he did the only thing he could do.
Oh, he didn't do one of those.
He called the airport with a bomb threat about that specific flight to Dallas.
Where is the rationale? You do a story like this probably 3 or 4 times a year, whether somebody wants to stop somebody, hold up the plane because they're running late. Where is the rationale in the 21st century to call the airline to say that there is a bomb or that the thing is going to blow up? They're going to catch you.
Well, it worked.
What?
That flight was canceled, and he wound up on another flight that left less than 2 hours later and far more convenient for him.
Then he should have booked the flight in the first place.
But they figured out it was...
Of course they did. They always do.
Behind the bomb threat. He was in court this week and was just sentenced to 4 months in prison.
Yeah.
And a $7,700 fine for making the threat.
I mean, nobody...
Hold on.
...gets away with that.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
Hillary Clinton could.
Oh, she could. Yeah. And absolutely no charges. She's done nothing wrong.
Yes. Hello, this is Secretary Clinton. There's a bomb on the plane. I'm running late. Okay, bye-bye.
Do you know, this is how much... The world has changed. Do you know, in the late 1960s and early 1970s, there was no metal detectors and anything like that. You walked right on the plane and you just...
With a lit cigarette.
With a lit cigarette. And you could if you had a pistol in your briefcase, so what? You were allowed to do that. Then the hijacking started. And this before any government interference with the airlines, your TWAs, your Pan Ams, because those were private businesses and you didn't want to upset them with government regulation. Most of the big airlines back in the day said, when hijackings were happening, most of them wanted to go to Cuba, that if your plane is hijacked, follow the hijacker's instructions. Take them to Cuba.
Yeah, they treat it like a bank robbery. Give them what they want.
Give them what they wanted. They believed that with all the flights that they were running out of all the airports all over the country, it was cost effective just to take them down there, let them go. Castro will send them back. And just follow their instructions. If there's, you know, 2-3 hijackings in a 3-month time, we can handle that. Let just go and drop them off in Cuba and go about your business. We don't want to upset the thousands of other passengers we have with Pan Am, and it was an accepted part of doing business until people started dying. But they didn't want, and President Nixon did not want to go and put any kind of federal regulation on the operation of airlines. Leave them alone. Let them make their own rules.
Well, we've been importing the world's problems long enough now that we can't have nice things.
Yep.
Saw a story today about the fact that Canada is screwing us.
And, of course.
And the way that they're doing it is they've now told Mexico, Mexican citizens don't need any paperwork to come to Canada. And so what are they doing now? It's starting to pick up. Mexicans go to Canada. They can get on a plane, land a couple hours later in Canada,
yep.
Walk right across the border.
Yep, no problem.
Because it's getting a little hot down south.
Yep.
And, you know, Canada, they let anybody in the world in there.
Yeah.
And here's where we can't have nice things. There's a town, I guess, it's split in half by the border. Half of it's in Vermont, half of it's in Quebec. And they share a library, and there's no crossing or anything. People just go about their business. Yeah. But that's got to change now.
Of course. Can't have a nice thing like that.
Nope.
Can't have that cooperation, that understanding. Because it turns into a big a shell game. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, I know I asked you before, but I just want to make really sure.
What?
Stan, you're not moonlighting as an apartment complex manager in Tennessee,
no,
are you?
No, but I like the way this guy thinks.
A person who lives in an apartment complex in Memphis, Tennessee, was absolutely enraged when they received an eviction notice last week. I mean, who wouldn't be? But it was more than just your standard eviction notice. They arrived to their apartment home.
Yeah, that's what they call them, apartment homes. It ain't a home.
To find a bright piece of orange paper with some writing on it.
Okay.
It said, "Guess who's moving? ? You," all caps, triple exclamation point, along with a big picture of a smiling emoji.
Love it!
And even though the person acknowledges they prefer not to pay rent,
well, there you go!
Other people in the complex believe the eviction notice was inappropriate and
please.
Offensive.
Grow up.
One neighbor said, quote, "It's antagonizing and embarrassing."
Sure is. You don't pay your rent, I'm going to antagonize you.
So you do moonlight as an apartment complex manager in Tennessee.
You know, anybody wants to hire me to do this stuff, I got no problem doing it.
No, you really don't.
I really don't. I can't get into specifics, but Haney and I were having a conversation. He goes, "I can't do that." I will.
Yep.
There it is. There it is. I love it. Even the emoji's got a little bit of personality
to it. It does.
I love it.
And that is something that you would do.
Yeah. That guy can give me a stack of those. I'll go to any apartment he wants me to. I'll stick it right up on the wall.
I know you would. Stan always volunteers to have, you need an animal put down, stands there for
Look,
you.
I don't like to do it.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday, July 24th.
Double M, XV, triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mark Haney, telling it like it is.
You know, you need to give somebody some bad news.
Oh, stop. I don't like doing it.
You want to break up with somebody? Have Stan do it for you. Happy to.
I could do that business. I'd love that business. Can't break up with your girlfriend? Have Stan do it for you. Hi, darling.
Sit down here.
Sit down, sweetheart. Stan here. You know, Tim, he can't say it himself, but I got no problem saying it.
You're a mess.
Yeah, you're a mess. Clean yourself up and pack up your bags. You're out.
Guess who's moving?
Yep.
You.
And then a little emoji.
Yep.
Stan's backbone service.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll do the things you can't.
Yeah, well, when Stan breaks up with somebody, it's very unambiguous. There's only two words involved.
Get out. We'll be back.
When life gives you lemons, crush them up and twist them back in life's eyes. Trust me, it burns. Oh, yes, it burns. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending the afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Roger Marley in at 6 o'clock. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, two things on the board. We will start in Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle, Buckingham Road and State Road 82. And this one showing up in Bonita Springs. A crash, Downs Drive and Bonita Beach Road Southeast. And you are up to date.
Slab. You may have put in all your time, muscle, brains, and sweat, but when it comes down to it, the way Obama sees it, you poor deluded jerk, you didn't build that. It may have been your idea, it may have been your dream, it may have been a long shot that paid off, but don't forget, when it comes down to it, way Obama sees it, you scatterbrain moron, you didn't build that. Your business belongs to the government, always has and always will. Yeah, the only time they don't take the credit is when it comes time to pay the bill. So if you are successful, your hard work pays off. Don't be too proud of your accomplishment. And when it comes down to it, well, Obama sees it. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Before you even started, you needed our approval. You kept us busy, charging fees for permits and dirt removal. Our engineers reviewed your plans. More taxes were collected. Every step along the way, you had to be inspected. We did everything for you with all our government powers, and now it's our plan that sooner or later is going to be ours. You didn't build Jack, and that's a fact, Mac. Whoa, if you are successful and your work pays off, don't be too proud of your accomplishment. Because when it comes down to it, Obama sees it. If you got a business, you didn't build that. You know you don't know nothing about nothing. That's a fact, Jack. You didn't build that.
Yay! I feel good now. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Oh, boy. Remember summer vacations with your folks? Did anybody get the concept behind that? We did not get along together in a 5-bedroom house. Dad's idea was to put all of us in a car and drive through the desert in the hottest time of the year. Good call, Dad. Let's confront our tensions. Remember, that was stressful. They weren't fun. You weren't vacating. It wasn't leisure.
We're going to get up at 2 a.m. I want to be on the road by 2:05. We don't have time to stop at restrooms. We're passing Dixie cups around the car. We're going to drive for 14-hour stretches in no direction whatsoever. The sun will always be shining through your window, Bill. Figure that out. I have seen the sun take turns with our car before to beam through my window. I'm in the back seat like an ant under a magnifying glass. Dad, turn the air conditioning on, please. Nope, it eats up gas. Then, Dad, you take my college money and you turn that damn AC on, buddy.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this laughter.
Everyone.
We like to send it your way. Thank you, baby. Each and every day. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
D-Train.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
Today is National Tequila Day. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
tequila fun facts.
Top tequila fun facts.
Tequila is very handy because it's clear. That means your boss will think it's water.
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah, you would. You do love it, don't you? It's all you right there.
The most expensive bottle of tequila ever sold was in 2006. The price?
Yeah.
$225,000, which was the first time ever anyone made a terrible decision before drinking a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
They go together, tequila and lime.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you can't find the lime, a handful of green Skittles will do in a pinch.
Yep.
Tequila is responsible for some of the best and worst decisions Kiefer Sutherland has ever made. You know, there's actually a town called Tequila.
Really?
Smells like vomit there.
Done, son.
Yeah.
Something just came up from my stomach.
I will never, ever forget one of those Christmas parties we were forced to go to. There's a girl that worked here, and she was just down in tequila and vomited all the way through the bell tower. And then I'm told she went to Lehigh and vomited some more. Tequila is Spanish for dilated pupils.
God, Jerry. You're dilated.
And finally.
Yes.
The very top tequila fun fact.
Yes.
It's best consumed from a wine glass. Or better yet, a stripper's navel. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.